Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I have somebody that, if you've been in practice over 20 years, you know this man, you know this man's name. He's done so much for chiropractic, and probably, Lou, I could say this, one of the most misunderstood men in chiropractic. And that's a good thing, because it means that, you know, B.J. Palmer was one of the misunderstood men in chiropractic. I have Dr. Lou Sportelli with us. And Lou, welcome to the Life West Leadership Line.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Just for our audience, I'll share with you a little bit about Lou and Dr. Lou. And he's been in chiropractic. He graduated in 1962 from Palmer College in Davenport, immediately went to Palmerton, Pennsylvania, practiced there for 35 years, then got involved with NCMIC, a National Chiropractic Mutual Insurance Company, got on the board, became president, was traveling all over, had 11 associates. He was busy, you know, throughout his time period. One of his associates took over the practice, and you know, and he ended up retiring from NCMIC. What year was that?
2015.
And right now is president of the NCMIC Foundation. And the foundation funds over $1 million a year into scholarships and grants and, you know, just different things, but all in chiropractic. And it's just amazing what they're doing. So, Dr. Lou, that's a very short introduction, because I could have went on about all the TV shows you did and how you were fighting on Capitol Hill for chiropractic and all the things you did politically and you know, what you've done throughout your career to really up level our profession. And you know, we'll touch on it, maybe not. I just didn't want to spend all the time with the introduction and not get to the meat, you know, of it, right? And I think that's probably the most important thing. But I do want to start off by asking you, you know, in your years in chiropractic, because, you know, from 1962, you know, we're talking about quite a few years, what were some of your highlights? Like your top, if I could ask you, I know it's kind of like asking you out of your, you don't have 11 kids, I don't believe, but if I said, what are your top three favorites? You know, you can't really pick them, but just give me the top three. What do you think?
Well, Ron, you know, when I'm asked that question, I have to reflect on the fact that I graduated in 1962. And for those of you in the audience who may not realize this, but in 1963, the AMA formed its Committee on Quackery. Now, and their goal was to contain and eliminate the chiropractic profession. Now, we didn't know this. I'm a young graduate. Graduated in 62, opened my practice in 63. The AMA is out to kill us. So all during my years of practice from 63 until the early 70s, we didn't realize what was going on because we didn't know what was happening. And because of all of that, because of the just the curiosity of why won't the hospital take my x-rays? Why won't they do my blood analysis? Why won't local physicians accept my referrals? All of that was kind of out there, but we had no context about, so all of that kind of shaped my view and caused me to essentially become an advocate, because I recognized the injustice that was being done to our profession when we finally realized what was happening. And thanks to sore throat and a set of documents that we received, it was hallelujah day.
Yeah, yeah. But the interesting thing was this, is that, you know, it was insidious and it was very well planned out, you know.
Absolutely.
Contain and eliminate, right? And it's crazy that nobody knew about it. And then, of course, you know, the Chester Whoops trial with Andrews and coming out of Chicago and all that stuff that took place. And we're going to get into that, but I think that is a highlight. What else?
Well, then, as we realize in the early 60s, you got to remember, there wasn't even a licensure for in all the states. There was no reimbursement for chiropractic in terms of most insurance companies. So as you started to see that patients coming in, obviously at that time, everybody had a cash practice because either you went into chiropractic and opened your own office and you had a cash practice because there was no other way to practice, or you did something else and dropped out of the profession. And we had a lot of those. So my whole career essentially was, how do we correct the things that we saw that were incorrect? One of my highlights was in Pennsylvania, we filed a lawsuit against the Blue Shield and Blue Cross, and we were successful. In the 80s, we beat them in court, and they started covering chiropractic services. I mean, that was a monumental economic boom to the chiropractic profession. But what it also did was allow the patients to be able to access chiropractic care.
And it laid the groundwork for other states to do the same. And
absolutely.
Or Michigan did it, and all these other states to be able to gain equity in the insurance world. And our viewers might not know how heavily dependent our public was on insurance back in the 80s, right? They might not have any idea that if you didn't have insurance, you know, you wouldn't even go to a doctor, right? And
exactly. But I will say this now. I realize I'm an old time practitioner, Ron. So one of the things that with every sword, there's two edges to it. And here's my lament. Back in the 60s, if you practiced, you better educate your patients. You better take time to educate them about what chiropractic is, what are you doing, and so forth and so on. As the insurance became greater and greater, our education of our patients became less and less.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the reason why we were stuck at a small percentage of the population was because the population didn't understand what we were doing because we didn't tell them.
Yes. And truthfully, because, you know, they call it the Mercedes 80s, but truthfully, you know, by not educating, these patients would leave the minute their insurance would stop, right?
Exactly.
So it was more dependent, which is, you know, it's flipped now, right? Like, you know, yeah. All our students graduate, I want to say 80% to 90% go out and do cash practices and do really well. And they'll submit super bills for their patients, but they don't want to even deal with that because they get people who are committed and they educate, just like you said, you know? Lou, I saw you. I've seen videos of you, you know, on TV advocating for chiropractic, whether it was with news people or, you know, that kind of stuff. And we're going back to the 70s, you know, and the 80s and stuff like that. I mean,
you bring back a memory. I remember we did one of the primetime television shows, which was the David Susskind. Back in that era, Susskind was, I mean, he was whoever it was. Well, they had contacted Chester Wilk and I to be on their television show. And I want to tell you something. It was a setup from day one. We walk in, we get seated in folding chairs while Barrett and the other guy are in a makeup room getting prepared. But back in the 80s, and here's where my mind continues to go. Back in the 80s, you know, there's an old expression in law, Ron. It says, if you have the facts, you pound on the jury. If you don't have the facts, you pound on the table. Well, we didn't have a lot of facts back then because we didn't have a lot of research. And so we pounded on the table to some degree, but we used our anecdotal evidence to support the fact that chiropractic was functional. And here you fast forward to 2023, and we're amassing a phenomenal amount of positive research to support and substantiate what we do. What a wonderful 40-year time span.
Yeah. You know, and man, people don't know. I mean, I think anybody who's been in this profession for at least 30 years will remember Stephen Barrett, you know, but other people might not. And I actually watched that And for our viewers, if you don't know who David Susskind is, it's kind of like Oprah. I mean, maybe not. Oprah had a bigger audience because there were a lot more people in the world than Oprah, in the United States when Oprah was around. But David Susskind, everybody tuned into the David Susskind show, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
It was, I mean, you know, Stephen Barrett was, I don't know. I mean, this guy started the quackery, you know, against chiropractic.
Quackbusters.
And he was Canadian, a psychiatrist who never got licensed. I mean, all this stuff that we dug up on him. But, you know, this guy, what did we ever find out what was funding? Who was funding him?
Oh, well, I think that's a good point. He was, you know, he lived in the town next door to me. That's how I got involved with him. But in 1969, now think about this, the AMA in 63, Barrett in 69, the AMA must have had some inkling that they were going to be exposed. So what did they do? They found a shill in Stephen Barrett, because the guy is absolutely and totally a non-communicative type of person. How he got the publicity he did had to be backed and forced by the power of the AMA, as far as I'm concerned. I have that suspicion, because nobody rises to that kind of prominence with his inability. So the bottom line is he was here and it was 69. So it makes perfect sense to me. And then he got on Quackbusters and so forth, and totally and completely denied everything that chiropractic was ever positive for. He used to send, how about this? How would you like to live in a world where Barrett would send patients to your offices with recordings to see how you handle the patient and to whether or not you did an exam and so forth and so on, and then he'd publish his books. So it was an era, but it was a good era. You know why, Ron? Because it did expose some of our own weaknesses, which needed correction.
Yeah, absolutely. But Lou, I really mean this, but you and Chester Wilk, you guys wiped the floor with him. And I'm going to post, if you have it, I'm going to get we might have it here, but I'm going to get a copy of that. And I want to put a posting up. It's people need to see this. I also saw one with Ian Grassam in Detroit with Barrett, you know, but it was the exact opposite. They did it at an NBC news station, and they filled the room with chiropractors. And so the whole audience was chiropractors and chiropractic patients. And when Barrett walked in, he thought it was going to be exactly, you know, everybody, you know, for him. And it was a whole different. But once again, when you share the truth and you share what chiropractic, whether it was anecdotal or not, you know, I mean, now with research, it's much easier. But when you shared the truth of chiropractic and you got people who are healing and how chiropractic work, there's really not much, no response, you know. I mean, you can't deny it, you know, and why the masses were going to chiropractors here, right? You know,
exactly.
And paying out of their own pocket for the service at that time, right? You know, they weren't.
Exactly. And when you're paying out of your pocket, you're going to either expect results or use your feet to walk someplace else.
Right.
So, that's what the results of what chiropractic had. I mean, early on, we talk about, you know, George McAndrews talked about tractor back with his father, who was in Iowa as a farmer. And the farmers would go to his father, and he would do this in the middle of the night, because the farmers were afraid that their medical physician wouldn't take care of them anymore. And so George saw that. I mean, when we talk about some of the things that happened in this profession, there's got to be divine intervention somewhere for George's father to have been a chiropractor, his brother and other chiropractors in the family. And then how do we wind up not being able to find a lawyer to sue the AMA? And then George comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the profession's career, Ron, there have been a number of marvelous things that I find hard to make just coincidental. I honestly believe that we've experienced some divine intervention.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And well, let's go on to it. You know, you recently, in the last like 3 or 4 years, you know, you commissioned a book, right, called Contain and Eliminate. I bought a bunch of copies, you know, passed them out, handed them out. And it is the story of the Wilkes trial. And, you know, you actually hired the reporter who covered the trial, right?
Exactly.
First, we're covering it for the for he worked for the you know for the
AMA News,
for the AMA News,
yep.
And then they fired him because he was actually reporting the truth, and that wasn't what they wanted to hear. And then he went to the Chicago Sun Times or whatever the paper was. But share how that came about, your vision around that.
Howard Walensky was the author of a book called The Serpent and the Staff.
Yeah.
And so he had a chapter in that book on the Wilk trial. And so Howard was actually, as you say, a fair reporter, one of the few investigative reporters that seems remaining. But after the Wilk trial was over and we had gotten the response from the judge and so forth, a number of years had passed, and I honestly believe that the profession never really did pay George McAndrews the kind of homage that he really deserved. So I was hell-bent. George was getting now up in age. He was 80, 82. He passed away last Good Friday. And so before he passed away, I thought to myself, you know what? We need to do something to commission a book for George. So I called George and I said, do you have any idea of who would be one of the great authors of this? And he said, Howard Walensky, if he's still available and still wants to do it. He just retired. So he got me in contact with Howard. The arrangement Howard and I made, as in Howard, there is no interference. I want you to write The Search for Red October. I do not want you to write a dry history. And basically, Howard did a wonderful job. And fortunately, George was a pack rat. So was I and a number of other folks. And some of the documents that we had in our files, I mean, in case you didn't know it, I am a pack rat. I've got three rooms filled with filing cabinets. And we were able to put together that whole story of what happened with the Scientologists and how the documents were there. And as a recipient of sore throat documents and so forth, the story fit together perfectly. And it was a wonderful story to tell. And it honored George McAndrews. And George participated in every single word of every single page.
That's so beautiful to hear.
Priority.
And I have to tell you, it's a movie script. I mean, truthfully.
Yes, it is.
It really is. It's a movie script because it just shows the inequity. It shows the rise above. It's a Rocky story, right? You know,
yeah,
that you
exactly. Know. It shows the depth of corruption.
Yeah.
And the limitless effort that the AMA would go to destroy a licensed profession. I mean, and if you tell people that, Ron, they look at you in disbelief because, you know, up until, and remember about the time we're dealing with the 60s and 70s and 80s, when the AMA was essentially the fourth branch of government, nobody would in any way, shape, or form think they would ever do anything unethical or dishonest. Well, now we find out, of course, that they're in bed with Big Pharma and have been part of the creators of this entire issue of the opioid and drug epidemic and all of these issues that are out there today. So nobody has the same view of the AMA that they did in the 60s and 70s.
No, and this was such a expose. I mean, I'm going to tell all of our viewers, I'm going to put a link on the bottom where they can grab this book. And I don't know, I might have bought like 5 or 10 copies. I wanted people to, I mean, I passed them out, but it is something that, yeah, people would think you're a conspiracy theorist if you talked about, seriously,
exactly,
about it. And George McAndrews, you know, I don't know if you know Brad Glowacki, but Brad did an interview,
yes,
with Chester Wolfe before he passed, and it's a great interview, you know, and what they were, you know, how they were, the amount of energy and time that they put in and what they did as defendants, right? It was incredible, and it was a major victory for us, but I think it truly, this is my own personal opinion, it shifted the attitudes, because the attitudes of young medical doctors now are not the same of what they were back in the 60s and 70s, you know?
No question.
80s. I mean, their acceptance of everything, and, you know, you can work with them, and they're really into less medication, you know, these days. But it just shifted it, and it's just amazing that we did it. And I think we just got to just share with our viewers, because you're going to read the book anyways, and you should. And if you, even if you know the Wilkes story, I knew the story. I listened to Chester Wilkes tell the story many times, right? Personally. And I still read the book, and it was still fascinating. And it was just great because there's stuff in there that I didn't know. But just share about deep throat, because I think that they just, or sore throat, I'm sorry, they need to know that, right?
Yeah, the interesting part about the sore throat documents was the Scientologies, L. Ron Hubbard wrote a book called Dianetics. He thought that the AMA was going to essentially honor him and whatever on his book Dianetics. Instead, what they did was they tried to get the Church of Scientology lose their accreditation and lose their status. And so L. Ron Hubbard, not to be taken too lightly, basically had an organization that was quite advanced. And so what he did was he infiltrated the AMA. He had some of the top secretaries go to the AMA, get hired. They did such a phenomenal job. They had a lot of trust. And remember, back in those days, this is before computers, this is before Xerox copies and all that. It was quite a task to go through and go. And so what they found out after a year or so was that the AMA wasn't really doing much against Scientology. But what they uncovered in a almost an accidental fashion was what they were going to do to chiropractic. And so they got the information. And so one of the Scientologists decided to, wait a minute, why waste a good situation like this? They sent it on to the chiropractic organizations at about 50 individuals. And I happened to be one of the individuals they sent it to. And from there on, Ron, ever since that day, when that brown, unmarked manila envelope came into my office, the weight off my shoulders was lifted, because I finally understood the context of all the things that were happening that I never, ever, ever would have imagined.
Yeah, and the depth.
So then the documents were out there, and of course, this is kind of the legal piece of this. Okay, so George says, wait a minute, these are documents. We have to validate them. And so the validation of the documents was, George filed an action, and of course they have discovery. And in discovery, there's what they call preservation of documents. So the preservation of the documents at the AMA, they complied with it. They put all the chiropractic stuff in. And guess what, Ron? I know this is going to be a surprise to you. I know you're going to be shocked. But the AMA told the court that they preserved all the documents, but the janitor thought they were trash, and so therefore they were all destroyed.
Yeah.
So that meant that George had to travel. Fortunately, the medical associations across the country didn't get the memo. George traveled to some 40 states, I think, and traveled to the medical associations. And in their files were the documents that they refused to admit to. And so after George validated the documents, that became the basis of the case.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand also, Rhonda, which is interesting, is the Wilkes suit really wasn't all about chiropractic at all. It was about the economic boycott, the economics that the AMA was attempting to get rid of chiropractors by destroying their economics. And Dr. Miron Stano, who was our economist on that trial, did a marvelous job.
Yeah, and it really was. I mean, it was about money. It wasn't about chiropractic, what we do, how we do it. You know, it was a money grab. And,
right.
And it's just crazy. And, you know, I don't know if our audience knows the gratitude, because chiropractic, if that would have continued on, chiropractic, the reality is it could have been wiped out. You know,
we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
We would. There's no question,
yeah.
Ron,
yeah.
That the profession would not be here today if it weren't for what was discovered and uncovered during the trial documents.
Absolutely. And it will always be in my mind, embedded in my mind, that that quote that I used to see that Dr. Sid Williams had that said there can never be an ethical relationship between a medical doctor and a cultist chiropractor, right? You know, and it was from the AMA. I think the date was like 1966 or something like that. And, you know, this was their stance. And they were so hell-bent on eliminating us. But, you know, I think it just comes down to the old saying, whatever doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And we got stronger and we grew. And then our research came about and all the things that you're doing around the research and the funding that's taking place is amazing. I mean, you know, come on, over $1 million a year that your foundation, that the NCMIC, that your president of the foundation is putting into chiropractic. And, you know, it is truly incredible. And, you know, it's what we need. We don't have the NIH behind us, per se. You know, we have to do this self-funded. Hopefully, Lou, we'll get to that point where we have those.
There's no question about it. I mean, there's no question that NIH funding is coming into chiropractic now because of the DC PhDs that are doing the research. I mean, just Dr. Ronnie Evans and Gert Bronford just got $11.9 million grant from NIH. Right. So, I mean, it's coming. But, you know, you have an educational institution. So think about this in terms of the hypocrisy and the absurdity. The AMA claimed that chiropractors were inadequate in terms of their education. Okay. So now here you are, Ron Oberstein, you want to hire an MD or you want to hire a PhD to come on your faculty to enhance the quality of the education. If that MD or PhD ever decided to come to your college, they would have received the letter from the AMA saying, if you go teach at Life West, you'll never teach again. Yeah. And so you can't call us stupid and then prevent us from becoming educated. And that's exactly what they did on a systematic basis, regardless of what the issue was. There was this dichotomy and hypocrisy that just was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's the contain and eliminate.
Exactly.
It's literally what they did. They contained
it. Exactly what they did.
And thank God, Lou, that yourself and everybody else who was involved in it, you know, got this.
Well, as we think about this in terms of the brilliance, I mean, you got to give them credit for doing a marvelous job in the attempt to destroy us. For example, the AMA, you know, there's, what is there, a dozen? American Cancer Society, American Arthritis Association, yada, yada, all the way down, every American group. Well, the AMA wrote the position papers, anti-chiropractic, for every one of those. And then they said, look, we're not the only ones who are against chiropractic, the American Cancer Society. So they wrote the position papers and then used that as their evidence to support the fact that they weren't alone in it and being anti-chiropractic. I mean, it's brilliant. And yet, it's so Machiavellian, yes, that you can hardly get your arms around.
Yes, and thank you to that judge.
Actually, it's fun. It was fun. It's fun in retrospect.
Yes.
To be able to look at it, Monday morning quarterbacking and looking at the entire landscape to see the brilliance of the program and then how it was systematically destroyed after the evidence. George McAndrews had a famous quote. He said the AMA were historians with a death wish. Yeah. They kept the documents, never thinking that anybody was ever going to discover them.
Yeah.
But today, Ron, the interesting part about this is yesteryear, and I was up to my eyeballs in it. But that's yesterday. Today, I'm going to tell you, we are in the most magnificent era that we could ever be in, because institutions, because the healthcare itself is taking a very, very optimistic look. You're starting to see the term value-based reimbursement. You're starting to see non-drug, starting to see conservative care first, which is what we used to say, chiropractic first, medicine second, or surgery third. We did that 50, 60 years ago. But that's the reality today. And what we're also finding, Ron, which is amazing to me, so I joke about this because I don't know how many of your viewers have been in practice for 60 years when I graduated, but I can tell you that when we were practicing, we couldn't even think about anything else except survival. So a patient would come in, and I would notice that they'd tell me, "Hey, doc, you know, my blood pressure's down, or my digestion is better," or, well, you know, I didn't give a damn about that. I was only concerned about what they came in for and making sure that I had no way to put this all together. Here we are, fast forward to 2023, and now we're starting to find out that the comorbidities, everything from diabetes to indigestion to whatever, has a spinal component, and we need more research to validate the fact that what we do is we're just scratching the surface on the benefits of chiropractic and the spinal manipulation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, Lou, we could talk forever. I got to wind it down right now. But the last question I want to ask you, and I want like maybe a 60 to 90 second answer on this, because you could go for 3 hours or you could go, is 50 years, 75 years from now, when you're looking down from heaven, where do you want to see? What do you want to see in the chiropractic profession?
I want to see chiropractors in every single aspect of healthcare delivery, regardless of where it's delivered, from private practice to institutional practice, to governmental situations, to the VA, to the military, all of it, Ron. And I think we will. I think there's no question in my mind that as research moves forward, that the value will be not only recognized, but will be incorporated.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And it is right now, the VA, all the things that we're doing, the service, the armed service members, they want chiropractic. They're begging for it. There's not enough chiropractors on the bases to be able to take care of them.
Exactly.
And now we're going to the VA, we're literally, I mean, it's phenomenal. What the ACC is doing now with Anthony Lisi and the things that, and you guys are supporting a lot of that. You are supporting right now people going and getting their PhDs, you know, getting their masters in public, you know, public chiropractors in public health to set policy and do this. Lou, we owe you and, you know, NCMIC, our foundation, a huge debt of gratitude, you know, that everything that you're doing to be able to move this profession forward on an educational level. You're up leveling us faster than we could have ever got up leveled. So thank you for that. And thank you for all the stuff that while you're trying to make a living and do everything you're doing and you're fighting the government, you're working around the fighting the AMA, which is just like the government, and doing all this stuff, you know, it takes a person, a group of people who are convicted and truly, you know, want to protect chiropractic and what we have to offer the world. So thank you. And if I haven't said it enough, I'm going to say it 1,000 times right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just awesome. And please, to our viewers, pick up this book. It's great. Lou doesn't make any money on this thing. It's not about it. Just get this book because it'll enlighten you. And it was one of the best reads that I had last year. And anyways, but Lou, thank you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking the time in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys got hit with that big northeastern storm or not.
Yes, we did.
Okay, well, thank you. And I want our viewers to know every single day, Lou's in his office and he's doing work every single day. I mean, you know, doesn't matter, you know, graduated in 62 and been at this game for, you know, 62 years or 63 years and just still at it, you know. So thank you, and thank you to our viewers. Thanks for coming in, day out, week in, week out. You know, we drop these like leadership lines every other week. The opposite weeks are our Life by Life West, and that's where we have maybe younger practitioners, you know, up to anywhere up to 20 years of age. My wife and I do those together. Thank you, and thank you for spreading this video. You need to send it to three people. Send the link out, because your friends need to know this historical aspect and all the great things that are happening and where we're going. And Lou, once again, you know, you dropped a bunch of diamonds and we really appreciate it. I always appreciate talking with you. And the more I talk with you, the more I appreciate you. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
I only hope that I can live up to those standards of what was set by you and others in your, you know, that graduated in the 50s and 60s as we're moving forward. And everyone else, until I see you again on our next show, For Dr. Liu and myself, we'll bid you farewell. Just keep, loving those people around you, taking care of people, spreading the chiropractic story, and never forget that, we are more powerful as a profession than we were ever led to believe in the past, but we have the research now. And as we move forward, just keep, working to up-level everything that we do and everything that you do, okay? So from Liu and myself, we'll say goodbye, and I'll see you next time on our Life Leadership Line. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today, and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.